Hello and welcome to episode 2 of That's a Great Question, a new podcast from the Sydney University Evangelical Union, where we answer your big questions about Jesus, the Bible, and Christianity. I'm your host, Liam. This is a new initiative, so I'd love your feedback, and would also love for you to submit your own questions to be answered in future episodes. You can do both of these things by going to euonline.org.au/podcasts. That is euonline.org.au/podcasts. And if you like this podcast, would love for you to tell your friends about it. But let's get to today's questions. Today, we have two guests on the show, Anna and Brian. And we have a few questions that focus on the theme of sharing the gospel with our friends. Welcome, Anna, and welcome, Brian.
Hey, great to be here.
Yeah, really happy for you guys to be here. So, Anna.
Okay.
You do a lot of work with the E team at the EU. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us a bit about that?
Sure. I've really loved doing my role this year. I work alongside the E-Team, which is a little group of people that thinks about how we train the EU to have conversations with their friends about Jesus. And I meet with people and hear how they're going in doing that. I also get to have conversations with people who aren't believers and just hear their big faith questions and their journeys with that. It's a cool job.
That sounds so special and so lovely. And we've got a few big questions of our own today. So let's just jump right into it. So here's the first question. What are some useful tips on how to approach evangelistic conversations with my uni peers who I'm not quite sure where they sit in regards to Christianity or even religion?
Such a fun question. I'm so glad that you're asking this and you're even hoping and thinking that you might have evangelistic friends with new friends and old friends. That's really great. The first thing I'd say would be to pray that you'd have really good conversations and you'd be loving in those conversations with your friends. The second thing I'd say is to be a good listener, to be someone who is really curious about your friends, how they think, what they like, what they're passionate about, who they are. I love to talk, and so sometimes you actually just have to be like, pause and stop to be a good listener. And one way you can be a good listener is to ask good questions. You might, to start having evangelistic conversations, you want to start asking questions that move from talking about whatever you normally talk about, like you might talk about with your friends, Liam, like StuVac, what you're doing in StuVac, or when your next assignments are due, or those kind of normal uni conversations, to go from asking those questions to deeper questions. You might ask questions about what they value, what problems they see are in the world. Brian, you might have some other good questions that you might add to that as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's anything that helps you to get to know your friend is a really great starting point. And, you know, I think it's so great that we're thinking about evangelism. We've got that in the back of our heads. But, you know, one of the things that just gives us permission to talk about Christianity in the first place is the fact that we're interested in the person that we're talking about and we're genuinely trying to be friends with them. And so we say, oh, you know, what did you do on the weekend? You know, what are you into? What are the things that that really, you know, get you out of the bed or, you know, get you excited? And the more you can kind of connect with someone and just, you know, have a really positive interaction with them, the more likely it is for them to just be positive about you sharing your story as well. And I think, you know, at some point it's actually, I think heaps of people are so open to being asked pretty directly about their faith. You know, tell me about what you think about Jesus. Or, you know, maybe you might, you know, maybe a softer way in would be to ask about their story or their past. You could ask something like, you know, what experience have you had when you were growing up? What were, you know, did you go to church or have you ever been, you know, had a faith or a religion? And then, you know, once they answer that, then you can start asking questions about, oh, what was that experience like? What was, you know, what has changed for you, perhaps? I think heaps of people, it seems to me that, you know, you go around campus, it's still very true that a very significant proportion of people that you ask, if you just went and did walk up and asked them, oh, tell me about what contact you've had with Christianity, about Jesus, maybe a quarter, maybe a third of people would say, oh, I used to go to church, I used to go to Sunday school, I used to go to a Christian school, and now I've left it behind, or I don't really believe that, you know? And then, you know, it's so easy then to just ask them, oh, tell us a bit more about that. And, you know, other people have different stories, of course, and, you know, it's the same thing. You ask them, oh, tell me about that. You know, I'm so fascinated about what your story is like. And then the more you listen, I guess, the more open they usually are to hearing you back.
Yeah, I love, Brian, how you ask that, like, why do you think that, or like, how do you know that? I think that's like a really nice follow-up question. You like ask one big question, then you just keep asking lots of little follow-up questions, so you really understand how they think. I think also for like the person who's asked this question is really asking about someone that they don't know super well, and so for people like that, I think that's like exciting. Like, you've got so much possibility to like start asking heaps of questions about them to get to know them. Sometimes it's harder for people who you've known for a long time, or have grown up with you being a Christian, have walked away, and asking them questions about like, how do you feel about God at the moment? Some can kind of keep that conversation going as well.
And have you ever had someone, you know, you're asking them about their experience and they come back and they say, you know, I got really burned by the church. I've got this gripe. I'm really now so hurt by Jesus, or, you know, something like that. You know, how have you responded in the past if that has happened to you?
Yeah, I think that happens often. And I think that's sad. And so I think I let them know that makes me sad. My response to that is like, oh, I'm so sorry that that's been your experience. And I think as a Christian, like, you can kind of apologize on behalf of the church almost, to be like, I'm sorry that was your experience. I think keep listening, asking questions. How did that make you feel? Why do you think that was what you heard or got taught? I think then also, if the thing that really burnt them is different to how you think about Jesus and what the Bible says about Jesus, being like, I just really want you to know this is the God of the Bible and this is what Jesus has done for you, is a really cool opportunity to speak the gospel to them in a way that might bring real refreshment and hope as well.
Yeah, I really like that, and the moment of empathy and being able to come back onto their side and say, look, you know, you've had a hard experience. That is a really helpful thing to do, and just what we should be doing, I guess, as Christians. I think often in those situations, you know, I think you mentioned also that the person who's experienced some of these things often has a real misunderstanding about Christianity, or maybe it's been taught in a way that's been massively unhelpful because it's actually not in character with the gospel. And sometimes I think a helpful thing is to just ask for permission to respond and to say, would you like me to respond to that? Would you mind if I tell you what I think about that particular issue? And they might really appreciate just hearing that it's possible to believe something different, and the Bible might not actually teach the same thing as what they might have heard in the past, or might have, you know, interpreted through, you know, some of the actions of the church and so on.
Brian, you said before that sometimes it feels like easy to kind of ask, oh, how do you think about Christianity? And most people will have kind of response to that. Do you ever feel nervous to ask that question?
Oh, all the time. I think it's very normal to feel nervous about evangelistic conversations. And I think something that helped me is that it really should be a normal thing to talk about the things that are really important to you. And this is true of almost everything else that is life-changing, and even those things that just make us excited in very short term. You know, oh, I got a new phone. I got I just discovered this new podcast. I, you know, have been learning this interesting thing. And we talk about those things all the time. And so I guess we shouldn't be surprised or even embarrassed about talking about our faith when that's true of us as well. Yeah, so I think I want to challenge myself when I feel too nervous. It's actually not that abnormal to talk about things that are exciting to you.
Yeah, I sometimes find it easier to have those like philosophical questions of like, what's wrong with the world? How do you think about the world? Who do you trust? Like, where do you, what success look like? And then as soon as I'm like, okay, this is the moment where I could ask, how do you feel about God? Something in me is like, and so I think something I found really helpful is like praying when I feel that moment. But also having a group of Christians around me that I know that I can debrief with or will encourage me of just being like, oh, how'd it go with your friend? And I think that's been cool too.
And in the EU, we have such a space.
Oh my gosh, we do. Yeah, High and Dows of Evangelism have been cool little groups of people getting together and chatting about people that they're, that are new friends and old friends that they're trying to have evangelistic conversations with. So that's a cool, cool space too.
How do you get involved with Heightened Hours of Evangelism, Anna?
You could check out the SUEU Evangelistic Network page, Evangelism Network, and there's links all over that Facebook page that you can click lots of them to get involved, or just send that page a message and say, get me in one, and we'll make it happen.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, how exciting. It definitely seems like one of the most useful tips was definitely like just listening to your friends and just like talking with them as you would normally about any sort of topics, but just make sure that, you know, you have, that you can like clearly explain your faith to people, and like you should not be nervous about it because you're just talking with your friends. It's really cool. Hmm. Here's another question for you guys. Mm-hmm. Is it sinful to not tell my friends about Jesus? I know Jesus tells us to make disciples, but I don't know if my friends will appreciate the gospel being pushed on them, especially if I've just met them recently.
I really love the person who sent in this question. I just think that's a really brave question to ask, and lots of Christians have this question but are too afraid to ask it and instead just live with this low general level of guilt about not doing enough evangelism. And so thanks for sending this question. Great question. What a great name for a podcast. For whoever is asking this, I do, and I know this is not really your question, but I do really just want to remind you that God is your Father and He loves you and died for your sin. And actually, the more you know Him and trust Him and feel like you can fully obey and trust Him, you'll really discover that's the best way to live. But I know that's not really what you asked, but I just think that just felt like important to say, especially when a question starts with, is it sinful to or not to, as a reminder.
Yeah, I would really back that up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would really want to steer the conversation away from, you know, the question of, is it sinful? Because that really sounds like, oh, it's driven by rules that, you know, this is like a command that we can either obey or disobey. And really the way that I want to frame evangelism for Christians is, you know, there are heaps of good reasons why we want to do it. It's not just we have to do it, but we want to do it. We want to share the gospel with our friends. And, you know, firstly, it's gospel means good news. It's really good news. And Jesus says it's good news for the poor. It's good news for the brokenhearted. It's good news for the oppressed. It's good news for the anxious. And, you know, it answers all of our deepest longings. And so it's just, we want people to know good news, don't we? And it's real. It's true. You know, it's not just that, you know, the Bible is just a book of like Aesop's fables. It's like, you know, it's yeah. like, you know, stories, fictional stories that are, you know, meant to teach us how to live, you know, some morals. But it actually is based in the real history of Israel, the real person of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And so if God's real and if Jesus really is who he said he is, then there's some weight to the reality of the Bible's message. But then also, you know, the Bible does say that there's a danger, isn't there? That in people who ignore the reality of God and their dependence on him, you know, they're missing out on eternal life. And Jesus is quite clear when he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. And, but, you know, I guess the thing to hold in tension with that is that, you know, God God himself wants people to come to him. You know, 1 Peter 3:9-10 says, you know, the whole reason why Jesus hasn't returned yet is so that because God's being patient with people, he wants people to turn to him in repentance. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But then he goes on to say, you know, the day of the Lord is coming like a thief. You know, it will come, and not in a time that you can predict. So there is an urgency to it as well. And so it's all those reasons, you know, it's good news, it's real, it's urgent, but it's what God himself wants. Like, we really want our friends to know. I know that's just the preliminary, you know, but I think that helps us to then reframe the question. It's less about, you know, what's the rule about, should I evangelize or not? It's, you know, do we want what God wants?
Mm.
Yeah.
Like what you were saying in the question before about, like, when you get a good phone plan, you kind of tell everyone. And there's heaps of examples like that. Like when you're watching a TV show that you think's awesome, you're kind of like, guys, like, is anyone else watching this? Like, and so I think that's almost a natural part of who we are as humans, is to share good things, like, and be excited about those good things. And different personalities do that more naturally. Like, I get so excited when I find a good recipe, or when, like, I find something that I'm like, oh, my friends would like this. Like, beeswax wraps, I just think, genius. Like, why is not everyone on that? But I think, yeah, that's like the gospel, and we're created to share good news. Like it says in 1 Peter 2:9, like, we're chosen to proclaim his excellencies. And I think that's like part of who, and you feel that when you're sharing the gospel with someone, you really are like, oh, this is like what I'm created for. I think at the same time, though, and I know we want to steer away from rules because we are motivated by the grace of the gospel, but Jesus does say in Matthew 28:19, like, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the end of the age. And we could spend heaps of time like thinking about this. But after the disciples heard this command, and after they'd witnessed the resurrection, they embraced literally every opportunity that they could to share the good news about Jesus. And lots of people believed. And there was also lots of opposition then too. And they didn't push it on people, but they did pretty plainly lay out the facts about Jesus respectfully to anyone who would listen, regardless of their status, their gender, their race. And I think that is a result of that, knowing this good news and wanting to share it with people. Yeah, even in the face of death, often for people like that. And so, yeah, I think we want to be motivated by, actually, this is good news to share, and we want people to know Jesus and have a relationship with God and all the amazing things we get to benefit as Christians. But we also, I do think it, there is a matter of obedience to Jesus and a Christian discipline. We're going to think more about like evangelism as a discipline at eSummit next week. And so you are welcome to come to that. I'm all about the plugs today. but yeah, I think I just wish with all my heart that everybody loved kind of sharing Jesus naturally. But I do know even in myself that I need some moments to remind myself that actually this is about me obeying Jesus' command for me. I think that idea of like being pushy, what do you think of that, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I think, this is probably a misconception about what evangelism is, that we, both Christians and non-Christians, misunderstand evangelism is if it's interpreted as I'm pushing, you know, the gospel down someone's throat, you know. And I think the reality is that we can't force people to believe things, you know, even if you were to hold someone at knife point and say, become a Christian, you know, like that doesn't make them a Christian, no matter what they say at that point, actually, because the gospel is a matter of your heart and where your heart is at with God. So, you know, not only is it totally useless to, you know, to try to coerce people. Like, I mean, of course the Bible says that's not the way that we do it anyway, that we don't use force, you know, and that's not what we generally see either, that, you know, when we're sharing the gospel, our job is to present the truth, to give a good witness to Jesus. And it's not our responsibility to make someone believe. And if someone genuinely is saying to you, look, I've heard the message, I don't want anything to do with it, please stop talking to me, then I think the best thing to do is to respect that and to say, look, I don't think that you're making a good choice, but, you know, I can respect the fact that you have explicitly told me not to tell you things.
Yeah, I almost think it like belittles our friends to think we can push the gospel on them, to think that they're not critical thinkers or mature adults that can tell you to get lost if you're trying to push something on them. But I think also that like church history has heaps of examples where people have tried to make people Christians under compulsion. Mm. And I think like the Bible speaks against that, like in 1 Peter 3:15, which might be common to you guys, like is that like be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And AFES is like the umbrella in which EU's kind of under. And they have a really strong statement just saying, and I think there's a lot of words in this that I'm like, oh, that's like convicting. It says, we disavow any approaches which depersonalize people or which seek their conversion through manipulative, coercive, or overly emotional means, which bypass a person's critical faculties or mask the true nature and demands of Christian conversion. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ and affirm the necessity of the proclamation of Christ to every person. That I just think that like, yeah, like we're not supposed to be manipulative or coercive, but actually we do have a message to proclaim that Jesus is Lord and that he died for the forgiveness of sins. And the response to that is repent and believe.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, we should keep going, but just the last comment I want to make on that is that, you know, we have encountered a number of cult groups that, you know, sort of piggybacking off Christianity. They sort of claim to follow Jesus. But one of the ways that we can tell that they're not genuine Christians is that they use tactics that stop you from using your critical thinking faculties, that you're not allowed to question what the teacher says, that you are taken away from your relationships with your, you know, pastor, your friends, your church family, your, you know, other friends, and you're taught to distrust others. And Christianity, I think, properly understood, does not encourage that. It actually encourages you to ask questions and to actually understand that Christianity can stand up to scrutiny, that, you know, that Jesus can, you know, he's robust enough to handle your doubts and your questions.
Yeah. And that's like the whole point of this podcast, right? Like, yeah. It's like you like ask your hard questions. Like, I think that's part of what we should do as Christians and non-Christians. I do think though, the last part of the question I just missed of like, what if I've just met them recently? I think some of the best gospel conversations I've had is with people that I've met for the first time at uni or at a party, or and they just ask me something about what I do or what I'm passionate about, and I'm like, God, I just can't help but be like, here's all the things I love about Jesus. That sometimes with long-term friends it can actually be harder, and so I don't want you to waste those opportunities at the beginning with someone who you've maybe met recently, but also use your own wisdom and also bravery and relationships to choose your timing well.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, early on in a relationship is, I think, actually the best time to out yourself as a Christian. And I think there's many opportunities for this. You know, there's always a transition moment. You go to a new job, you're in a new subject, you meet a new friend. And I think it's, you know, the best way to start that relationship is to make it so normal to say, oh, what did you do on the weekend? What did I do on the weekend? Oh, I went to church. And at just dropping just little hints that, you know, first, you know, they know that you're a Christian, and second, that it's okay, you know, you're okay to talk about it. Mm. And so you just leave that door open. If you sort of try to hide that from the beginning, I think that makes it that much harder actually to then try to somehow out yourself later you know, someone who wants to talk about Jesus suddenly.
Yeah. There's a thing Sam Chan uses that's like coffee, dinner, Jesus. I think that's a cool model of like, I've often kept that in my head of like, okay, we've had coffee, we've talked about like, you know, they know I'm a Christian. Then dinner, okay, maybe we've started talking about some of those bigger, more meaningful movement questions. And then now I feel like we've got enough relational bank. Maybe we could talk about Jesus now.
I think I know what you're talking about, Anna, but I think we need to break it down a bit. This coffee dinner Jesus thing, like I reckon heaps of people have not heard about this before.
Oh.
So what does it mean to do coffee dinner Jesus?
Well, similar to that of just like, okay, like ask one of your friends. I know you're so keen to move on from this question, but this is fun to talk about.
No, this is amazing.
Okay, so like ask, okay, you meet someone, you'd be like, hey, do you want to get a coffee? Like, everyone loves being invited to stuff. And if they don't want to, like the pushy thing, they'll just say no. It's like if you ask someone a date, if they say no, that's it. Like, so ask someone for coffee, hang out, talk about, when you're at coffee, you talk about superficial things. It's like a more casual environment. You maybe talk about your subjects, the weather, you know, what part-time work you do. I don't know what you guys talk about it these days anymore at coffee. What coffee you like maybe. And then at dinner, you might then go from coffee and then say to them, hey, like, let's, you know, catch up again. Like, you know, you can meet in my suburb when we have dinner, or, you know, I can cook you dinner or whatever.
Because dinners are more
intimate.
You kind of talk about deeper things over dinner than over coffee.
And especially if it's at your home, like you might invite them into your space. Like that's like the relationship intimacy grows, I think, because of that, which is cool.
Yes.
Yeah, then I think you can talk about big things like how do you think about the world? Do you have a faith background? What's success look like to you? What solutions are there to the American politics system? Like all those, I don't know. That's a big question to tackle in a night. But you can start asking those big questions and that might lead straight to Jesus. But that also gives you some relational bank, I think, that then the next time you catch up, whether that's coffee, dinner, for a walk, I don't know, you can almost do anything then. Then you can ask them about, oh, how do you feel about God? What do you think about Jesus? How do you think God feels towards you?
Yeah, I think I like that because it's actually about creating that relational context that allows you to talk about some of the deep things. Can be a bit intimidating to go straight to what are your deepest fears?
Yes. Some people you do meet for the first time and they're just like, what are you afraid of? And you're like, whoa, okay. But I think normally that's true.
Yeah, okay, that's great. So start creating that little context for that relationship, have coffee together, have dinner together, let's talk about Jesus. Yeah, that's great. So that's right. You know, if you've just met someone, it's not like every word that comes out of your mouth is like gospel.
Yeah. You're a person, you have things that you like.
And we already talked about asking good questions, getting to know them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I really like how you both both said like be bold about your faith, but also like be respectful. So it doesn't seem like being manipulative or pushy. I really like that.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's episode. Thank you so much, Anna and Brian, for your input. And we look forward to having you both on the show next time as we answer a question on the accuracy of the Bible. As I said at the start, we'll love to answer your great questions as well. You can submit them at euonline.org.au/podcast. That is euonline.org.au/podcast. You've been listening to That's a Great Question. This show is produced by the Sydney University Evangelical Union, a student club on campus at the University of Sydney that proclaims the good news that Jesus is Lord. Thank you for listening and see you next time.